the phrase "Make America Great Again" isn't one that's accompanied by much neutrality. Basically, you love it or you hate it, and those feelings are typically lined up with whether or not you're a supporter of President Trump. But even acknowledging that, what does it really mean, or what is it supposed to mean? For ASU Dean Jonathan Capel, it opened up an opportunity for discussion and figuring out what Americans actually agree and disagree about. It's part of his series American Greatness, which has been featured on the web and in the Arizona Republic. And Capel is with me to talk about what he thinks and what he's learned. Jonathan, how much did Make America Great Again put you on the track to figure out about America's greatness?
The funny thing is, for all of the yelling back and forth about it, whether you're angered by red hats or whatever, nobody really says what they mean by it, right? So Make America Great Again, now they're saying Keep America Great. So something changed within 2 years. I mean, obviously from the president changed. So is that all they meant? I mean, I think most people think American greatness is more than who happens to occupy the White House. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think the country fundamentally changed within 2 years. So what do you mean by that? And if America was great, when? When was it great? How did you know when it was great? And as frustrating to me as people saying Make America Great Again is the people who responded very angrily and said, how dare you? America is great. It's always been great. It's like, well, what do you mean by that?
And Jonathan, the focus so often seems to be on what are the things we disagree about?
Moreover, we focus on, within an issue area, the ways in which we disagree. So I think it's not just articulating the things that we agree upon so we can sit around a campfire and sing Kumbaya. Like, that's nice. But I actually think if you start by articulating the common ground, that's actually a pathway to find some common ground on issues that divide us and seem like it's impossible to reach any agreement on. So it's not just, oh, this makes us feel better about the country. That's important, by the way. Mm-hmm. And that I can sit with my neighbor and not say, I hate you because you voted this way or that. Right. It's actually a pathway to find more agreement on stuff that we are having a hard time, you know, overcoming the divide.
One issue that seems like it should be something that brings us together that has been especially divisive lately is immigration. Most of us have come from somewhere else, or our ancestors did. Is that an issue that we should try to find common ground on more readily?
Absolutely. And I talk about that in a couple of the pieces, that part of American greatness relative to other countries in the world is how we've handled immigration over the years. And that has been an incredible asset for our country, that we've been able to have people come into this country and they become part of the whole. And the interesting thing is that the country has changed as new people have come, and our culture has changed and our attitudes have changed. And we found this balance between consistency and certain values, but also integrating new people. And if we were to really focus on, well, how has that been key to our success as a country? That's a perfect example of how we might actually find our way to a solution on the current impasse. So the answer isn't no immigration and foreigners are bad and this is America. That's never been part of this country. It's also the case that unlimited immigration and immigration without any expectation of people adapting to American culture, processes, and values, that's also never been part of the success of this country. So this isn't about choosing one side and saying, yep, that's the side that's right. That's the side that's consistent with American history. It's about figuring out what's made us successful thus far, and where is there space in the current disagreement to continue that legacy.
Now, you're a leader in higher education. As America has seen itself as a leader on the global stage, it made me think about almost that we became a follower, that we looked at China or looked at other nations and said, well, you know, we have to compete against China. That's the phrase we always heard. Did that get us away from some of the things that America does better than anyone else? Does that sort of take away, with a de-emphasis on civics or a de-emphasis on what made our country unique, was that troublesome in some ways? And did that almost get people befuddled about, well, what's making America great? Is it that we're going to out-test them? Or, because we do have to compete, but can we compete with them on a level that makes us great or unique as it has for centuries?
Well, I think there's a couple of different things embedded in what you just said, Steve. So first of all, I think part of what we have confused about our greatness are the results, not the causes, right? So we say, well, of course we're the greatest. We've got the biggest economy and we've got the biggest military. And you know, we create, you know, the entertainment and the movies that everybody wants to see. And everybody wants to come to America. And we have the, you know, we have this entrepreneurship and we have the best universities and people come to study here from all over the world. All of those are true. And they are powerful indicators of American greatness. But it forces us to say, well, wait a second. That can't be why we're great, because weren't we great before we were all those things? And so the question is, how did we get there? Mm-hmm. And so my argument that I've laid out in these series of essays are all about, in some ways, the building blocks that got us there, right? So this emphasis on creating opportunity, this emphasis on having individual rights protected, but also situated within a strong community. This emphasis on having a robust market where people can take bets on themselves and start a business, but it's managed by a government setting the rules of the game that are fair and not about advantaging one set of people over another. All of these features of American society is what got us to where we are. So the problem, to go to your point about testing, the problem there is it's focusing on the end, not on the building block.
Jonathan, one important word that has come up for a long time, even more so now, is diversity. And when it comes to civics and getting people to be on the same page of whatever they deem, we're talking about the process of making America great, is there a thing there as well to make it clear that regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of how you made it to this country, we are all sort of trying to be on the same path as far as greatness goes?
So not only do I not see it as problematic that we have a history which is far from perfect, I actually see it as one of the most powerful statements about American greatness. And here's why. Mm-hmm. What makes America great is our aspiration for greatness rather than a sort of chest-beating self-assuredness that we've got it all figured out. Mm-hmm. The reality is we've articulated ideals since day one, since before day one, but we've never fully lived up to those ideals. We've been deeply flawed from day one. So when we speak about that, does that mean that all of that was a lie and it was a myth and we're all hypocrites? No. It means that we articulated a set of ideals and we didn't live up to them. What's most moving to me about this country, and I really do, I feel it emotionally, is that African Americans, Native Americans, Japanese Americans, people who have suffered from the flaws in our country over its history, they can embrace the ideals just as vociferously and just as passionately as those who have been on the other end. That's an amazing thing. The power of American greatness is that we're always working towards the realization of those goals.
Jonathan Capel is dean of the Watts College at ASU. We've been talking about his series on American greatness. Great to talk with you. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve.